Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
The key highlights in the reporting period to December 2020, which was undoubtedly a difficult time for the business, but in a difficult time for everybody, was the fact that it provided the opportunity to restructure and reimagine the entire business. And we needed to do that to replace revenue that we knew that would be lost, but also to preserve cash and to make sure the business could survive in a difficult trading environment. We focused on our digital portfolio, which performed extremely well, both in the US and in the UK with our core brands, some of which performed better than their pre-COVID expectations. But across the piece, the major brands performed digitally. We transformed our events portfolio from principally a live environment into the virtual environment. And that was something we had no previous experience and we performed extremely well there. We launched new brands to create additional revenue streams to replace the revenue we knew that we were going to lose. And importantly, we completed our technology investment program to make sure that we were fit for purpose going forward, and that we had the most effective and efficient internal platform, and that we could deliver high quality propositions for our client base. The key financial highlights in the period to December 2020 will be revenue of 17.8 million, and that is split 7.7 million in the first half and 10.1 million in the second half. The EBITDA associated with those periods will be a loss of around 1.5 million in the first half and a profit of 1.5 million. In the second half, achieving a broadly break-even position in the year. Importantly, the final quarter was an incredibly busy quarter, and around 7 million of revenue was generated in the final 3 months of the year, which reflects the capabilities of the business. And although it was stretched during that time, it certainly highlights what can be delivered in the group. The other areas include the restructuring costs of £1.4 million all relate to the first half, and that is for the final integration of Investment News and Last Word Media, and also some of the restructuring costs associated post the changes we made in the COVID environment, and also the last elements of the technology investment program. Importantly for us, no adjusting items in the second half and none predicted for 2021. And the final area is cash, and we ended the year at £1.3 million, which is better than expected. And I think we'll continue to build on our balance sheet during 21 for two reasons. We've completed our technology investment program, and we will come to the end of the repayment of the Crane vendor loan in August. I think the business copes pretty well with COVID-19. As I said previously, it was the opportunity to restructure and reimagine the business. And as a result of that, we put in place a new divisional structure, which gave greater ownership to brand owners and their leadership. There were new KPIs set in place to make sure that we focused on the right things. And those areas are around operating margin, around audience engagement, around staff retention, and also the development of recurring revenue. So I think they were important points to establish. And there was also a huge amount of emphasis on product development. We knew we were going to lose revenue because of the switch to virtual events and the pressure on live events. And therefore, we had to create new revenue streams to mitigate that loss. We also did lots of internal housekeeping and working on all of the processes to make sure that we had the right processes in place, and that we could gain efficiencies and that we could reduce cost. And we spent a huge amount of time on internal communications. And that was really designed to bring the businesses which had come together through acquisition much closer. And there were a number of creative workshops held internally that enabled us to move some of our brands out from their sort of domestic sort of heartland and take them internationally and in the case of ESG Clarity globally. And it also enabled the staff to better communicate, understand what their colleagues were doing, and just generally share best practice. The other thing we did was to reduce all liabilities in the best fashion we could. And those liabilities can relate to venue costs for events that weren't going to happen, for leases, for print contracts, just basically every area where we had a long-term liability. It was finding ways to reduce that so that we could conserve cash and make sure we could trade our way through the period. We also sought support from the government, both in the US and in the UK, and we received about $1.1 million of paycheck protection funds from the US government, which was incredibly helpful in funding payroll through the third quarter. And in the US and in the UK, we received about £200,000 worth of furlough income through the course of the year. And then going into 21, we have nobody on furlough as we currently stand. And given the changes to the headcount that we've made, so there were a range of cost saving initiatives. There was a range of government support, but ultimately it was that opportunity to sort lots of things internally, so that we had a much stronger business internally, and we could offer better products externally. The events business was impacted the most by COVID-19 in the sense that in 2019, we delivered something in the region of 10 million of revenue from live events. And it was clear that in 2020, that was going to be hard to replace. So we moved very quickly to create a virtual offering. And it was interesting to me that, you know, having never run a virtual event in our history, that we actually delivered something in the region of over 100 from March until the end of the year. And we were incredibly successful in delivering that. And the range of formats was from sort of 1-hour webinars through to some 3-day flagship events. And it was a really strong proposition coming across all the brands, both in the US and in the UK. And in fact, actually overnight, we've received notification that one of our event series, the Women Advisor Summit, has been nominated for an award for best series by one of the streaming companies. So I think that's testament to the strength of what was being delivered. The financial impact of the events was really to see this 39% decline in revenues, but because of the margin differential from the live to virtual, the decline in contribution was really only in single figures. So it was very manageable. And I think most importantly for us is that we took the decision very early on with the move to virtual was to partner with specialists, and that enabled us to share what the wider industry was doing, but in terms of best practice, to gain all the prior experience from the streaming companies and the virtual event providers, so that we could accelerate our knowledge. And we were determined to make sure that we could deliver the best events that we could. And I think that stood us apart from quite a lot of the competition. And also it means that in terms of moving into 21, there are more enhancements to come. And the team have been working hard at developing additions and various add-ons to the format, so that people will feel as though they're getting a better experience in 21, because it's clear that the virtual environment is here for much longer. So I was really pleased with the way that the team developed virtually. Great to receive recognition by way of an award, and excited actually and comfortable that regardless of the operating environment in 21, we can continue to deliver high quality events. We have a number of plans for the group in 2021. The first thing is around the internal mantra we have of having the right people in the right place doing the right thing. And it's taken us a long time to get to that point, but when you see it in action, it's fantastic. And we will continue to develop that across the whole business. The second point is to utilize the data that now comes from the technology platform that we've got in place. And the investment that we made in that is now being returned, in the sense that we have a much better understanding of our audience, of our customers, of how we acquire customers, what is of interest to our communities. And we can really develop our product set based on the data that we have in place. The other areas are around continuing the globalization of the group, and we will seek to put all of our major brands across all of the territories that we have in place. And then the final thing is to work on our research capabilities, because that informs, again, our product development, and it's also a valuable service to our customers. So there's benefits both internally and externally. The return of live events, that's probably the question I get asked the most. And I think it really depends on where you are in the world. It's there's a very different attitude in Asia, in the US and the UK. I think in the UK, it will probably be, I think, late autumn, very much at the earliest. I think in the US, it's almost impossible to say. I think there's a willingness, but in terms of the current environment they're in, I think it's very difficult to predict. And in Asia, I suspect they will be the first to return, and there's evidence of that happening already. But I think for us, there's no requirement to return to live events. And I think there are so many other factors at play in terms of vaccine, social attitudes, government guidance, and also corporate guidance as well. So, but UK, which is the principal market, late autumn at the earliest. The outlook for the business in 21 is pretty clear. We're going to focus on three areas. The first one is to develop our recurring revenue. It's clear that in the COVID world, the more that we can develop our subscriptions and recurring revenue, then the stronger the business will be. The second thing is to enhance all of our existing brands and to make sure we maximize the opportunity with the brands that we currently own, and that is to develop those both domestically and internationally. And the final area is to focus very much on new product development. So we've got a range of products in process, one of which has been launched in the States already, and we need to rebuild the revenue line, and that's through new product development. I think both ESG Clarity and the US are very good examples of our development plans. Investment News 2 years ago was very much a news channel, and we've taken that now forward such that it operates in fintech. It services the next generation advisor, the women advisor community, and also strongly in the growing diversity space in the US as well. So I think our track record in developing out from a core brand is pretty good, and we will continue to do that in 21.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.